Hello again and welcome back to the Bikepacking Podcast with Mike Rain. This is the second of a two-part podcast on the Highland 550. I left off at the end of last episode having just arrived at Pooleu, having cycled all the way from Glasgow around the Highland 550 to that location. I was just reflecting afterwards that the section from Dundonald House to Pooleu has been claimed to be the best day's mountain biking in the UK. That's a pretty extravagant claim. It's very good, but whether you would say it was the best day, I don't know. There are some highlights, visiting Cheneval and that remote location in the Fisherfield Forest on a bike is quite exciting. One of the things that happens in Scotland is to make circular routes, you do often, certainly in this area, need to use the road to get back to where you started. And the road here has a particular problem because it's part of the North Coast 500 trails. So it occurs to me, and if I'm up this area again, I think you would be, it wouldn't be a bad idea to just reverse the route. So head from Dundonald House to Pooleu and then go back. Obviously going back, you're going to be going slow in different places, fast in different places, and you'll get completely different views. So I don't know, there's something in me that always wants to do circular routes, but actually some of these bits in Scotland would really suit there and back routes because to make the loops, you do end up using the road quite a bit. And I mention that here because it's really quite awkward at Pooleu. There's a great little shop, and to head south from there, what they have done on some versions of the Highland 550 when they've been doing the race is they've gone along the northeast shore of Loch Maree. And if you do some online research, you'll find that's not popular. It's really flipping hard work, it sounds like. A lot of pushing, bit of carrying, woodland, tree roots, that sort of thing. So that does sound a bit wearing. Even the track on the western side of the loch, the track that runs to Slatterdale, you sort of join it near Tolly Farm, just south of Pooleu. That doesn't get a good write-up. I think it's quite a boggy, wet push-up on that one before you can get on your bike and enjoy the journey. So I avoided those. What I decided is I needed a rest day. I'd just done 8 consecutive days of bikepacking through the Scottish Highlands from Fort Augustus. And I needed a rest. I mean, you know, that's just the way it is. There's no harm in having a rest. So there was nowhere to stay in Pooleu. And I thought I'd get over to Gairloch, because I've been to Gairloch in the summer with my wife. And it's quite a nice place. It's got the services you need, a few more accommodation options. So I went over to Gairloch. I tried a couple of hotels, but they were full. I only tried a couple. But what you find in this area now is you're on the North Coast 500, the motoring route around the north of Scotland. And it's busy. It's busy. It can be unpleasant on that road at times. You've generally got a good slot in the morning because they're all having hotel breakfasts. You've probably got a good slot in the evening where they're all having their hotel dinners. And you've probably got a quiet bit at lunchtime where they've stopped for lunch. In between that, you could get quite a lot of motorhomes. And particularly on the single track sections, they fill the road. They're really not very helpful. Usually nice people that give way, that's not the problem. But they just take a lot of space. You've got to get off the road to let them pass. And then the other group that are noteworthy are the supercars. You can hire a supercar and drive around the North Coast 500 as quick as you want to drive around it. And well, yeah, make of that what you will. I'm sure some of you think that's brilliant fun. My only sort of brush with it was in the car park near Kyleskew Bridge. This was on a different occasion, where some young men came into the car park at speed, not in supercars, but in souped up older cars. They were photographers, and they all zoomed in, three of them zoomed in, did these handbrake turn donut things in front of a family having a picnic, couple in a motorhome with a little dog, me and my wife having a little peaceful moment looking down the lake. They zoomed in, did the donuts, ran up to the road, took pictures of supercars coming over the bridge at speed, then jumped in their cars, revved their engines, spread some gravel and rode off again. Now, that might be your cup of tea. It's not mine. I really didn't dislike it. So my philosophy when I'm up here is to avoid the North Coast 500. Occasionally, I see people cycling it. And I just, well, each to their own is all I can say. That is not my cup of tea. So the long and short of it was the hotels in Gairloch were pretty busy. But there's a campsite there. And it's a lovely campsite, really friendly. They did have a campsite full sign up, but I popped up and she was ever so nice. She said, oh no, I don't mean full for little tents on bikes. We just mean full for big tents, for camper vans, that sort of thing. So I was able to camp on the campsite at Gairloch and I booked two nights and I spent most of the next day lying down. There's a bookshop there. Unfortunately, the cafe was a little disappointing. Really dry cakes and cold coffee and a dirty knife. So I couldn't recommend that place. But what I could recommend is the fish and chip shop. That was excellent. And there's a little supermarkety type shop as well. But for me, a rest day is a rest day. I spent most of the day lying down reading. And that was very much appreciated. So next I need to get back on the trail. I didn't want to go back to Pooleu and battle with that Tolly Farm track. So it was a matter of getting up and getting on the road and trying to get as far as I could before the North Coast 500 Brigade came out. And all you can do is pedal as fast and as hard as you can. I mean, it's a super road. It's a very spectacular road. You go through some lovely countryside and pass some great little locks. And then you're on Loch Maree shores and there's great little picnic spots and campsites there. But there's no getting away from it. It's a long old cycle. I did spot a decent campsite just north of Kinlochhue, which I thought might be a good place to stop at next time. And it may be that you could, I don't know, find some other ways in and out of the mountains there, but really not sure. Nothing sort of leaps out at me on the map. Probably a place to go walking up Sleoch and those sort of mountains. I was keen to get to Kinlochhue to have a little breakfast in the cafe there, but I was there too early. A real sod thaw, isn't it? And the shop was a bit depleted. To be honest. They didn't have a great range of stuff. Although I suppose you can argue not having a great range of stuff means you're not spoiled for stood there trying to choose stuff. But again, I suppose the important fact to be aware of there is you had a shop in Pooleu, you've got a shop in Gairloch, you've got a shop in Kinlochhue. You're not as remote as you think. I carried far too much food and supplies on this route because I could have stocked up quite frequently. Now, from Kinlochhue, you head south into the heart of Torridon. It would be lovely to go all the way down this valley to Torridon village. But you do just take a left at Loch Clare, which is good as well. But just take a little bit of time to appreciate where you are as you head along the shore to Loch Coolin. I did see no cycling sign on one of these tracks here, but I ignored it. I just carried on. Just me on my bike. I'm not having that sort of messing about. And it was chucking it down. It was raining and raining and raining. And there's a neat little bothy called the Tea House Bothy. Be a real struggle to sleep in it. But boy, it was a nice bit of sheltered spot on a really wet day. It's a great shame it was so wet heading into the next section, because the next section is fantastic. Somebody actually cycled past me while I was in the bothy. I couldn't believe it. Didn't stop in the bothy, head down into the rain, kept going. Me, I was in the bothy, stood watching the rain, having a little snack before moving on up to a pass. It's Drochaid Corrilair, it seems to be called. The going here is quite tough, quite rocky, but then you get one of these good downhills to Achnacellach Station. It's steep and rocky. It's proper mountain biking. And it was a bit gopping for me because the weather was so bad. So what would have been a fantastic run down was quite hard work. And I did take one little fall on this section. I damaged my bike somehow. I'm not sure exactly what I did. But later on, one of the problems that was found on my bike, I think I related back to this little fall. It wasn't a fall at speed. I was just going dead slow down the rocky bit. So be careful down there. Hopefully you get there on a better day than I did and you can enjoy that descent a bit more. But it was lovely to get down to the valley, only because it was raining. It was chucking it down. And I got down to Achnashellach Lodge. Well, again, there's a bunkhouse. You nip down the main road. There's a hotel at Strathcarran where you could get some supplies if you wanted. But, yeah, I had loads of stuff, so I carried on down the road again to Atterdale. And it was lovely to turn off the road again and head up into Atterdale. Apart from the fact I'm pretty wet. Atterdale looks nice. There's some gardens there and would be a nice place to hang around a bit. If you had time, you could maybe, I don't know, good stay at Loch Carron if you wanted, or Strathcarran Hotel. There's probably somewhere you could camp too. But for me, it was carrying on pretty wet and starting to get late in the day. So looking for somewhere sheltered to stop. And up the top of this hill, on my OS map, it says Con Alt Nabrav, and I just tucked in some conifers there. It was grim, but sometimes the conifer woods just give you that bit of shelter and that little bit of dry land that you need for an overnight camp. So that's what I did. So it was a wet night after a wet day, and I woke up wet. And then it was a real mixed bag the next day. You're heading for Dorney, which you probably know from the famous castle Eileen Donnan. And it starts off really good. There's a super downhill down into Glen Ling. But then you've got a horizontal bit, a flat bit, to where the road is at Nonach Lodge. Oh, for goodness sake, it was shocking. It was really bad, really hard work. Big deer fence with a big kissing gate that was really hard to get through. Just pushing. I hate it when you're pushing along level ground. I don't mind pushing uphill, that's part of the game. But when you've got to push down, which is not very often, but when you've got to push level, it gets to you. Nonach Lodge, you get on the road and you zip down the side of Loch Long to, I said Donny. I thought it was Dorney, actually. Have I got the wrong name there? Anyway, where Castle Eileen Donnan is. And there's a really good snack bar food place there. You can nip in there, had a fantastic sandwich. And a little look around, that was great. Still pretty wet. And the way alongside Loch Duke is above the main road. There's a main road here that obviously takes the best route along the shore and stays level. You have to climb up the hill and follow a little minor road above the main road. Not as bad as it sounds, actually, because it's great views and you're off the road. And yeah, by this time, your legs should be pretty strong. You do drop back onto the main road, but it's not horrendous. You're pretty short-lived on it before you head off into the hills again. And the valley you're heading for, Glen Licht, this was a bit of a high point for me. I just thought this valley was superb. The riding was really good. It's a good track. It was easy to make progress on. Again, you're away from the road. You're away from people. You're behind the Five Sisters of Kintail. There are mountains to the top that, you know, I just don't know anything about at all. 1,000-metre peaks there, rising up from sea level. Which just looked tremendous, and I'd like to come back to this area to do some walking. There is a bit of a push at the end of the valley, but it's not horrendous. It's a good track, and you're heading across into Glen Affric, which is an exciting place to be going. You pass the Cambanbothy, you pass the Glen Affric Youth Hostel, and then you get into the woodlands alongside Loch Affric, which are old growth Caledonian forests with a wonderful understory. The birds are singing, and it's just a place that makes you feel good. It's absolutely superb. So again, this section from Glen Affric to through Glen Licket is part of the Affric Kintail Way, and it's another one of those routes that it's worth doing. It's really worth doing. It's a good bit. Maybe you can make that into a loop, I'm not sure. But I really enjoyed that bit, and I'd love to do that again. I was going pretty fast because I was pretty wet, and I wanted to get to a place called Tomich, because I'd actually booked a night in the hotel in Tomich when I'd got some reception, because it's just wet through. I needed a drying out night, that's all. The Tomich Hotel was a bit pricey, but it was friendly. They had a garage for the bike, they had a hosepipe for the bike, a nice evening meal, nice breakfast. They put my kit in the boiler room, actually, so it all dried out really nicely. So that was well worth stopping there. And that set me up for heading across to Fort Augustus and escaping from the mountains. The track over to Fort Augustus, you can only really be described as dull, but one of the exciting bits for me was seeing the Arctic star flower. I'd never seen an Arctic star flower before. Or at least that's what my phone told me it was called. When I did a little bit of further research, I found out the British name is wintergreen chickweed, which is not at all exciting, is it? Wintergreen chickweed. I much prefer the American name of Arctic starflower. So that was nice. It's a woodland plant of the northern part of Britain, so you wouldn't see it much lower down than where we were there. I popped down, long downhill, fantastic, fast and free, down to Dundregan. And then you're up over through some woodland, which is pretty dull, plantation forestry. But it takes you over to Fort Augustus, where it was back to Morag's Hotel for another night. I'd love to stay at Morag's Hotel longer. I just find it a really welcoming place. I didn't need to stay in a hostel, having had the previous night in a hotel. But I was tired, so I couldn't resist it. And then from Fort Augustus, it's down the Great Glen Way, down the Caledonian Canal. Interesting seeing the canal, interesting seeing the big boats heading alongside Loch Oich. Most of the way you're off-road, you're on forest tracks, undulating in places, but not horrendous. A long way down Loch Lochy. You don't really go near any of the services, they're all on the road. So just make sure you've got some lunch with you. But it's not slow. You're going from Fort Augustus. You do pass through Laggan. There's probably something you could get there. And then it's all the way down to the bottom of Loch Lochy. And then you follow the Caledonian Canal. Really fast riding, to be honest. Dead smooth gravel. And you're in Corpach in, you know, pretty good time, to be honest. It's handy that I was in Corpach in good time. I remember getting a brew and something to eat there. And it was only mid-afternoon when I got to Fort William, and I needed to go to the bike shop in Inverlochy. A big shout out for Nevis Cycles. They were really, really helpful. I had lost a brake a couple of days before. I can't remember if it was that fall that I had on in Torridon or not, but my front brake wasn't working, so I'd come a couple of days without a front brake, which is not ideal, as you know. So I'd managed to ring ahead, and Nevis Cycles had a brake that they could replace my brake with, and they were just super helpful and really friendly and really accommodating, and gave the bike a little once over. So a big shout out for Nevis Cycles for helping a bike packer in distress. You know, it's not always the way with shops, that, because it's really difficult because they're busy, so they have their time slots booked, and for you to just turn upon spec, it's hard for them to drop everything and just help you. They will try. The guy in Aberfoyle was super helpful with me, but these guys, I did give them a couple of days' notice. So it was hard to say exactly when I'd be there. I had a rough idea. But you know, nothing was too much trouble, and they were super helpful. So big shout-out for Nevis Cycles. While I'm in Fort William, a big shout-out for the Brevin's Guest House as well. This was, I think, I had some good breakfast on this trip, but this was probably the best breakfast. Certainly the nicest place I stayed. It was absolutely spotlessly clean, beautifully decorated, super friendly. They even had those boot dryers, you know, those things you put in your boots to dry your boots out. And I had some pretty grotty shoes by this time, as you can imagine. So they were very, very helpful. They got a garage for the bike. And I walked into Fort William that evening for a celebratory curry. I had a really nice curry. And I you know what, when you get to Fort William, it's kind of finished psychologically and practically. You've done it all. You've just got to get back to Tindrum now. So the next day I set off towards Tindrum. You wander up through the forest to join the Highland Way. Initially it's just forest tracks, but you climb quite nicely. You can cycle the whole way. There's nothing too horrendous on there. And then you get some good single track on the good footpath that heads off towards Loch and Lun Debfra. And then you're on, it's an old military way, so it's well, you know, it's easy marked on the ground. It's pretty good cycling, heading across, well graded, towards Kinlochleven. What you will come across, I certainly did, is lots and lots of people walking the West Highland Way. The West Highland Way is absurdly popular, to the degree where if you were cycling south to north, it would be quite frustrating because you'd constantly be coming up behind people and having to ring your bell and say excuse me and please and sorry and stuff. Whereas if you're coming from the north, people can see you coming and, I mean, get out of the way sounds a bit harsh, but, you know, you can make eye contact and we can decide who's going to give way, as it were. So be patient. It's good riding. It's fast riding. It's steep down to Kinlochleven, but it's good riding, you know, it's fine. But just watch out for the walkers. And if you're thinking of cycling the West Highland Way, do it north to south. You'll regret going the other way. You'll be just frustrated. Lunch in Kinlochleven, yet another place to stop and buy food. Be great overnights in Kinlochleven as well if you needed. So big climb on forest tracks to the head of a sort of pipeline. Oh, looks a bit alpine up here, actually. And these little huts at the top of the pipes have sort of reminded me of an alpine hut. Loads of friendly people, loads of encouragement. But then there's a long track where it's a bit of sort of cycle push to the top of the Devil's Staircase. Devil's Staircase has a bit of a reputation. But, you know, if you've done some mountain biking, it's nothing. It's actually quite shallow, quite tame. It's a bit rough, but again, on a mountain bike, it's okay. And it's a nice quick way down. It wouldn't be horrendous going up that way because it'd just be a fairly steady push. But I enjoyed the run down there. And then you're on the old military road again, parallel with the main road. So you're off the main road. It's a good track. Zip past the King's House Hotel. That's a rather ugly spot these days with the modern addition. No need to stop there. Zip past the Glencoe Mountain Resort because that's an ugly spot as well. And then pretty soon you're back into quiet places, following a good track. There were rainbows around, there were showers still around, but I was in good spirits. Was getting to decision time though, and I was wondering if I should sort of make a plan for accommodation, make a plan to stop anywhere. I got to the Inveroran Hotel and sort of toyed with the idea of stopping there, but it was heaving. People were piled out of the door. It's raining again by now, of course. And it's one of those places where you can't go in because it's so hot and humid and full of people. And we weren't long after COVID. I just thought, I'm not having any of that. So I carried on. And you know what? By this time, I'll tell you what, there's a little diversion over Mam Carraig, which I just didn't see any point. I just went around the road there. It's a little quiet road, I was pretty tired. And by now I decided I might as well just go to Tindrum. It wasn't a horrendous journey to Tindrum because it's a good track. If you've driven up the main road there, the A82, you'll have seen the West Highland Way off to the side. So it's a bomber track. There's no steep hills. You might as well just crack on, and that's what I did. I rang up the hostel in Tindrum, the By the Way hostel, to see if they had a bed for the night. They had a bed for the night, so I pushed on to Tindrum. I remember arriving in Tindrum, and I was driving a couple of days before the Highland 550 race was due to start. I don't know if it was the day before. No, it was 2 days before. There were a few races starting to collect there. And the lady at reception said, where have you been? You know, where have you come from? Oh, I said, I've just done the Highland 550. No, you haven't, she said. You haven't. I said, I have. No, you haven't, she said. You just look too fresh. Ah, well, I've got to say, I spent the last night in a B&B and the night before in a hostel and the night before in a hotel. So I was clean-shaven and fairly fresh when I arrived at Tindrum. And it's pretty easy ride from Fort William, to be honest. Lots of good tracks. You can just keep moving and crack on. So that was lovely that we had that bit of human interaction. And that was the end of the Highland 550. So I was pretty chuffed for myself. I'd finished the Highland 550 and I got myself to Tindrum there. I did eat camp food, actually, because I had so much camp food on my bike that I hadn't eaten, because there's so many of these more interesting places to eat. That was a bit bizarre. So I spent the night in Tindrum in the, by the way, hostel, which is a great place to stop. Really helpful, really friendly, really supportive of bikepackers. It's where the 550 race starts and finishes from, so they know all about bikepackers. Plan being the next day is to wander up to the station, because the hostel is next to the station in Tindrum, and get the train back to Glasgow. There was no early start. I can't remember what time the train was, but I pushed my bike up to the platform, full of the joys of spring and celebratory mood, and there was a sign, one of these neon signs saying, train cancelled. What do you mean, train cancelled? Oh, for goodness sake, train cancelled. So I went, there's no reception there, so I went back to the hostel, which is not far away, used their Wi-Fi, got on the internet, found confirmation that that morning's train was cancelled. There was another one early afternoon, I can't remember, it was 1:40 or 1:20, something like that. So obviously you think, right, I'll get the afternoon train, you know, not a problem. Have some lunch, hang out. Oh, I did try to get the bus. Somebody said, go try and get the bus. You can get the bus to Glasgow. So the bus, it's a coach, goes down, you know, all the way from, I don't know where it goes so much, in Malaga, Fort William, but it comes through Tindrum and it goes into Glasgow. And apparently you can put your bikes on the bus in the, it's like a coach, you know, in the locker there. So I stood at the bus stop and the bus pulled up and I said, can I come to Glasgow with you, please? He said, have you got a bag for your bike? And I'm like, a bag for my bike? What do you mean if I go? I can't put your bike on the bus without a bag. I'm like, well, I haven't got a bag, have I? I've just been flipping bike packing. I was on the Island 550. Why would I have a bike bag? Who takes a bike bag around the blooming Island 550, for goodness sakes? Of course I didn't have a bag. And of course he wouldn't let me on the bus, would he? More than my job's worth to let you on the bus. There's loads of room in the boot. I could see it. He'd opened it to put some cases in. So space wasn't an issue. He just wouldn't let me on because I didn't have a bag to put my bike in. For goodness sake, job's worth. So back to the hostel, back to the station. Afternoon train comes in. Now, I should have worked this out, but the afternoon train was completely full because the morning train had been cancelled, and the conductor was very apologetic. Basically, the train stopped, hoping, I guess, that someone would get off. But he's like, I can't even get you on. Never mind you and your bike. We are rammed to the rafters. So I was a bit gutted by that, because you're in this celebratory mood. You've got a train back to Glasgow. Got a train booked to get home, back to North Wales, you know, with a reservation for your bike, and I can't have it. I can't get the train back to Glasgow, and there isn't another train now till the next day. So I sat on the platform, watched the train go away, shed a tear or two, and felt sorry for myself. And then I thought, well, hang on a minute, I've got a bike. You're not that far. We did half the Highland 550 yesterday. We might as well do the rest of it. So it was in the afternoon, I mean, it was probably 2 o'clock when I set off, but I just set off down the Highland 550 heading towards Glasgow. Sorry, not the Highland 550, the Highland Way to Glasgow. It's quite slow going at first. It does that thing where it sort of goes up and down the sides of the valleys, because as anywhere else, the main road has got the best route down the valley, the old route that people would have taken on foot or with horse and carts. So you're wiggling around through forest tracks up and down either side of the valley, above Cree and Larwick. Some of it's been renewed, some of it's fast. The bit through Glenfalloch went really well. And, it's not bad, really. You end up at Loch Lomond. Now, there's a bit of an issue at Loch Lomond, because I've been to Loch Lomond before, and we've all been to Loch Lomond. We've all driven past Loch Lomond. It's a long loch. But what happens is, if you speak to anybody about cycling the West Highland Way, they tell you not to do the eastern side of Loch Lomond. The north and the east side of Loch Lomond is apparently really hard on a bike. And it's one of those things where people say, look, I'm not just saying it, it really genuinely is. You're carrying your bike, lifting it up steps, lots of tree roots, ups and downs, in and outs, even narrow gaps between trees. They all say don't do it. To sort of compound that, as I'm cycling south, about three people saw me on the bike and said, where are you going? I said, oh, heading down to Glasgow, West Island Way. And their response was basically, well, good luck with that, mate. Good luck with that, mate. You're not going to get your bike down there very easily. So I took all these omens and I stopped at a place called Ardleash, where there's a ferry across to Ardlewy. I had to wait quite a while for the ferry. You pull this plastic thing up a pole and kind of expect the ferry to just come. But it didn't just come. It took ages. It took an hour. So a little hour's rest there. It's knocking on a bit now. I think it was something like 6 o'clock when I got across the ferry to Ardlewy. Cost me, is it a fiver? And I was worried about the road on the other side because it's that main road that we've raced up going up to the Highlands before. But it was, I told myself it was Friday evening. Most traffic would be going north. I'd be okay going south. And sure enough, I was. So I jumped on the A road there, the trunk road, and I scurried as fast as I could down the side of the lock, all the way down to a place called Tarbert. There was no ferries going back across the lock at this time of day, so there was no point even trying that. So I was on the road to Tarbert, but traffic was going north, I was going south, it was okay. And then I had a really nice discovery, because what I didn't know at that time was from Tarbert, there's an off-road route, basically, to the middle of Glasgow. Unbelievable. So you're off-road all the way down the rest of Loch Lomond. You pass various places. You could stop, you could eat, you could do whatever you want. What are those places called? Inverbeg, Luss, that's the right popular spot. I even helped a couple of lads on this bit because I'm not a bike mechanic at all. I just can't do anything. But I happen to have one of these multi-tools that's got a chain splitting thing on it. I don't know what they're even called. And one of them had a broken chain. So I was able to help him remove the link and fix his chain, which is pretty unheard of for me. So I was pretty proud of that, I was. I got to Ballock, which is a place at the end of Loch Lomond. You do have to go on the road a little bit there. Kind of get lost in the car park trying to get into Ballock. I dashed into the fish and chip shop. Time is it now? I think it was about 9 o'clock and the chippy was just closing. And they like had one portion of chips left, which I had sitting on a bench there. And they've got these on the pavement Scottish water drinking tap fountain thing, so you can fill your water bottle up on the pavement from a Scottish water hyphen thing. It's amazing. So fish and chips. No fish, sorry. Chips and water and bread. I had a chip butty, basically. And then you're off-road again, down the side of the river, just dashing down south, heading towards a place called Dumbarton. But I knew now I needed to camp wherever I could because you don't really want to be cycling down this area looking for somewhere to camp because it does get a little bit unsavoury down there. But I found this industrial site. I can't remember exactly where it was now, just north of Dumbarton, near a place called Renton. And it's a rewilded site. It was industrial. The industry's gone. Whatever it was is there. There's a few fishermen around. And I managed to tuck in the woods there and just have one of those super discreet nights. It was great. In the morning, there was a fisherman not far away from me. Didn't bat an eyelid. So that was a pretty good night, that was. Because then the next day, you're into Glasgow. And it's off-road all the way from there into Glasgow. Really good cycleways, sometimes along canals, sometimes purpose-built. I don't know if you go through the choicest bits of Glasgow. I remember seeing these look like fortified pigeon lofts. Quite incredible. But before you know it, you're back in the middle of Glasgow, back at the station, and I'm trying to get the train back to North Wales. Of course, no problem transferring my personal ticket to this train, but could I transfer my bike? No, because the four bike places on this intercity train between Glasgow and Warrington were all fully booked. Anyway, people were just walking down the platform, so I like, you know, let's just sneak in the crowd here and see if I can walk down the platform as well. And everybody's just walking down the platform, nobody's batting an eyelid, everything's hunky-dory. But of course, as you get to the platform, a lady pops out, ever so nice, oh, excuse me, sir, can I see your bike reservation, please? Oh my God, my world fell to pieces again. Bottom dropped out of the world again, and because I had no bike reservation, and I had to confess everything, that I was a really bad person trying to smuggle my bike onto the train just to get home, because I was booked on yesterday's train, couldn't make yesterday's train because ScotRail cancelled the connection, and I was stuck in Glasgow, and I really did not want to spend another night in Glasgow. I'm awfully sorry, sir, but you can't get on this train with your bike. I have four bike reservations. As it stands, two of them are taken, but the other ones, we're just waiting for them. I'll tell you what, sir, if they don't turn up, you can have their place. Is that all right? I can't argue, can I? I can't say, no, it's not all right. I just have to stand there and hope. Oh, dearie me, it was a long 20 minutes. I tell you, I'm stood there hoping that these two cyclists who booked the places don't turn up. And it's getting to 10 minutes to go, and you're like, come on, if you're on a bike, you'd be here 10 minutes before your train goes, wouldn't you? Surely, to get it loaded and get on. It gets to 5 minutes before, and at 5 minutes, there's two guys walk across the concourse pushing bikes, and I'm like, oh, no, here we go. And the lady said, oh, we'll just better see what they're doing. Anyway, they turned off and went somewhere else, and she said, right, let's get you on there. So we scurried down the platform. She got me on the train, and I got back to Warrington, but it was a little bit stressful. So what I did was not just the Highland 550, I did a Highland 725 because I started and finished in Glasgow. The whole thing took me just over 2 weeks. I can't remember the exact days. It was under 3 weeks, over 2 weeks. The bit on the Highland 550 took me 2 weeks. And I suppose the point of all this, what I'm really trying to say is do the Highland 550. You don't have to race it. You can just do it as a holiday, and you could stay somewhere different every night. You could just pick out the best bits as well and do them as there and back sections. You could just do some of the loops. Some of the linking roads are really not nice. I think I said that yesterday. It's not nice cycling into Contin, not nice cycling south of Ullapool. It wasn't nice cycling out of Gairloch. Some of the pushy bits along down to Dorney there, that wasn't nice. The pushy bit from the Suleg Bothy to Ledmore, that wasn't nice. So there are some bits that are not nice. But on the other hand, a lot of it's brilliant. It is a physical challenge. You can see why people want to race it. It's the eastern bit can be quite dull at times. There's not a lot of nature to be seen. Allerdale really stood out as being a special spot. Look, I've been up there for nearly 3 weeks, done the Highland 550, the Highland 725, if you like. I've seen one golden eagle, a handful of bird species, a few spring flowers. This is May, by the way. Herds of deer, loads of sheep. I could, if I wanted to, paint quite a negative picture. But I love Scotland, and I love travelling through Scotland. And what this bike journey did for me is take me to bits of Scotland I've never been to. I was a climber, bit of a walker. As a climber, Scotland's hard work. In the winter, it's good. Done lots in the winter. But in the summer, if you're stationary on a rock face, midges get you. If it's not the midges, it's the rain that gets you. And the rain got me on this trip. But my overriding memories are not of the rain. They're of doing a fantastic journey through the Scottish Highlands. So don't underestimate it. It's a brilliant journey. Go with a tent. Don't overstress about services. There's lots of places where you can stop and shop on the way. You might not see a lot of people, so chat to the ones that you do when you see them. But starting and finishing in Glasgow was great. Absolutely brilliant. Folks, I'm going to end it there. It's another quite a long episode. Highland 550, get on your bike and go ride the Highland 550. I've been Mike Ryan. I look forward to speaking to you in the next episode. Toodaloo.